Welcome to the Virginia is for Laughers podcast, brought to you by X2 Comedy. If you're looking to get more out of your Shenandoah Valley experience, then this is the podcast for you. You'll meet interesting people, the comedians that perform here, and find out more about what you can do and see. Whether you live here or plan to visit, listen to explore what helps make up our unique slice of heaven. Now here's your host, Dawn Davis Womack.
Hello, laughers. I'm excited to introduce you to Dawn and Lois Crawford from Harrisonburg, Virginia. They're food bloggers and owners of RecipeIdeaShop.com, a website that offers recipes and ideas to nourish your body and soul, focusing on comfort food with a healthy twist. Dawn and Lois both love to cook. Dawn is a creative cook who can easily follow step-by-step complicated instructions. He's the pie maker and the person who makes the detailed recipes. Lois is more of a quick, natural cook who can easily grab a few ingredients and make a delicious meal. They both love eating a variety of foods, especially those comfort foods they ate while growing up. But now they make food in a more healthy way. Air frying instead of deep frying, and steaming vegetables instead of cooked all day with bacon. Today, we're going to talk about healthy holiday entertaining for families and give you a few ideas for how you can make your holiday get-togethers easier and healthier for yourself and your family. Welcome, Dawn and Lois. It's great to have you on the show today.
Thank you for having us.
Hey, it's great to be here with you, laughers. Let's talk about some fun and food.
Let's do it. This is so exciting. I so much enjoy you as people. You're amazing to hang out with. And I will never forget that when I had my hysterectomy and there was a meal sign up, that you two were the two of the loveliest people to sign up and bring food, and by far the best meal I had. So I just wanted to put that out there. So it's a treasure to me to have you on here today to share you with the laughers. So thank you again. I'm thrilled. And today, laughers, we're going to talk about that healthy holiday entertaining for families, because they do have good ideas and recipes to share with you. And the inspiration, though, behind them is personal. So that's where I'd like to start. I'd like to start with their journey to eating healthier and their passion for cooking first. So, Lois, I understand that eating healthier became a priority for you when you suffered medical issues. Can you share your story with us?
Yes, I will. I'll share it in a brief manner. I started out with a heart attack. It hurts worse than childbirth. I'm never going there again. And discovered later that the heart attack was caused in part by inflammation. So inflammation influences whether you have a heart attack or not. And so I decided to try and figure out what the inflammation problem was, because I had joint pain and gut pain and other kinds of pain that many people suffer. And I began to search how to figure out how to fix that. The doctors would tell me that the pain in my hands was arthritis. It's not arthritis. It's just inflammation. After a while, I started to figure out that food might be the problem, and I began to test one thing at a time to figure out what it might be. And over time, I figured out that there were three things that caused my problems, and that was gluten, cow's milk, and soy. And I have different reactions to each of them. Some of them are immediate. That means an allergy, like you, if you're allergic to nuts, you might, you know, have a terrible reaction to it, have to go to the hospital or take antihistamines. Some of them are more delayed, shorter time, but they last longer. That could be an intolerance. And that is what happens to me with milk. I drink milk. An hour later, I have terrible joint pain. And the third one is a longer one and harder to figure out, because for me, gluten causes a 3-day delay. So then I think, what did I eat yesterday? What did I have for lunch or whatever? But it really was 3 days ago.
Wow.
So that took a long time to figure out. And when I tested it, I eventually got very systematic and figured it out, lost 40 pounds without going on a diet, which is why I call it my books, It Ain't Just the Diet, and cured myself, essentially. All my numbers are perfect. Everything's healed.
That's really incredible. Was the weight loss like slow and incremental? Or
it was very slow. It happened over 4 years. Mm-hmm. I would lose a pound or maybe two a month until all of a sudden I was at 40 pounds lost and realized, I think it's time to buy new clothes. And Dom said, "Why are you buying new clothes?" I said, "Did you see how these fit?" He's like, "Oh, okay, you can buy new clothes."
You let her do that, didn't you?
Well, I encouraged it.
Yeah. That I'm curious about the gluten delay, the 3-day delay. Were the symptoms or what you felt similar to the other food allergy? They were.
Some of them were and some of them were not. So different people have different reactions. And actually on the website, we have a page that is about gluten, like, am I allergic to gluten or am I intolerant of gluten? Something like that is the title. So if you just look up gluten on the website, you'll find that whole list of all those symptoms that you might have. My most weird symptom was the fact that it makes me hyper ticklish. And I've always been hyper ticklish from the time I was a kid. People are always tickling me till I wet my pants. And it didn't take long because I was super ticklish.
Yeah.
And when I got rid of gluten, people can actually hug me without me going, "Oh my God, don't touch me."
Oh my gosh.
And that's... you can imagine what that does to a relationship.
We are talking to a married couple, Laughers. That's great. Well, Don, I'd like to get into your story a little bit. You developed an interest in cooking from a young age and have been influenced by family members. Can you share a little bit about your story with us and how you got into this passion of cooking?
Yes. From a young age, I think my mother determined that I was such a geeky kid that I'd probably never get married. So she took me under her wing and she taught me how to sew and how to cook and how to iron, you know, all the domestic things that a young guy might need to survive. But the love of cooking was more a relational thing because it was kind of fun being in the kitchen with my mom and just watching her cook and seeing the joy that she had in preparing food. And my dad, he was the grill guy. He was the guy that would obsess over how to get the charcoal just right. And he would clock the number of minutes that the steak was on the grill just to make sure that they came off perfectly. But if you put him in the kitchen, the fried chicken came out black on the outside and red on the inside. So we never let him cook in the kitchen. My mom's mom was a vegetarian, so it was kind of fun. I lived with her one summer when I was working a job near her house in college and ate vegetarian all summer long, worked outdoors in a hot sun on construction, and gained the most incredible amount of muscle that I had ever imagined without an ounce of fat. And she fed me well.
Wow.
So I enjoyed that. But my mom also taught me that food can be fun. And occasionally she would make my lunch when I was in high school. And I would carry it to lunch and sit in the cafeteria with my friends and eat. One particular day, she had made me a bologna and cheese sandwich on good old white bread with a side of pickles and chips. Now, the bologna came in a package that had a round disc at the bottom, the same shape as the bologna. So I sat down with my friends, I opened my lunch bag, I took out my sandwich, and I bit into it, and the bite wouldn't go all the way through. So I investigated. I peeled the sandwich apart, only to find this disc from the end of the bologna package and a lovely message from my mother that said, "April Fools, just eat April 1st." So you can imagine this geeky kid sitting at the table in the lunchroom with his friends, greatly embarrassed, but understanding the love behind the parent that did this. So food can be fun as well as nourishing.
Yeah, it sounds like, I like that there, you got the protein source from dad and the vegetable source from your grandma, and you put it together. That's a complete meal right there. Right there. I love that. Yeah. Was there a vegetable dish that she made that you really loved? Was there a favorite or favorites?
Just about anything she made was great. Breakfasts were the best thing because she had an incredible knack for making pancakes. And, you know, she could start and 3 minutes later, you have a stack of pancakes.
Wow.
on your plate. So, and then eggs and pancakes, typically the breakfast was the meal. The rest of it was just, you know, vegetables, good vegetables, lots of beans, of course. And then textured vegetable protein back then was a little different than what we get with the vegetable burgers today. It was a little different, but she would mix it with enough spices so that it tasted good.
I like it. I noticed from your website, Don, you're a food stylist, and I didn't even know that was a thing. So what is a food stylist?
That's maybe a bit of an exaggeration, you know. The professional food stylist would not claim me as part of their group. They're the folks that make those pretty pictures that you see on menus and in advertisements of food on plates, and it's very lovely. But what I believe is that, you know, the taste of the food is often as much influenced by what you see as what you smell and what you taste. So I like to put together a beautiful plate. It could be very simple. So, you know, and think about the kinds of food that you eat when you go out to a restaurant. So, you know, if you go to Joe's Diner and you sit at the bar and you look across at the fry cook and he's making an omelet over there, you know, he chops up the stuff, covers it with eggs, flips the eggs over and slides them on your plate. And, you know, for $5, you got a nice breakfast. But if you and your wife are on a special weekend and you go to this lovely hotel and you go down for breakfast and you order an omelet, it comes out on a white tablecloth with a beautiful white plate. The omelet has an incredible shape to it. On the side is a garnish of fruit and maybe a sprig of mint. You know, that $20 breakfast tastes different and you feel different than the one you get at the diner. They're both great foods. I go to both places. I enjoy them as much, but just think about the way you put the food on the plate.
Yeah. What's your go-to to spruce up the way a plate of food looks? Is there any kind of your go-to tricks with that really make it pop?
Sure. I take a lesson from my grandkids who don't like their food to touch. So, you know, divide the plate into thirds. And, you know, you move the food around there. And, you know, if you're having a nice steak, you position that so that that's toward the diner. And then the potatoes are off to one side and the green beans, almondine, or next to the potatoes.
So I'd like to give you a little story about food styling here on this. When we first started doing this recipe website, being that Don is better at styling food than I am, I'm a good cook, but Donna's really has that creativity to make it beautiful. And we were making poached pears, and I asked him to make it beautiful, and he made one where I put the pear down, he put the sauce around the outside, and then he drips some of the sauce down the sides. And as I was going to take the picture, I thought, oh, oops, he did this, the dripping part. And I started to wipe it up. And he said, no, I did that on purpose. And I was like, that looks like it's a mistake to me, but I'll take a picture and then I'll wipe it off and I'll take another picture. And so I did that. And darned if the one with the drips didn't look better and more artsy. So we ended up using that.
So is that a picture? Go ahead.
He's usually right in terms of how he presents it.
And that was a picture that went into your book? Is that?
No, it didn't go into the book, but it's on the website. It's under poached pears.
Okay. All right. Well, that's exciting. Yeah. Thanks for sharing that. I hear the word on the street is you two have some ideas and great recipes to share with us today. So let's get into it. I love food. So let's talk about it. Do you have any tips to make dinner get-togethers easier on working families?
Yes, I do. First, I'm going to start with the fact that we all know everyone is busier than ever. We thought we were busy when we were raising our kids, and we were. But today's family has so much more going on. And so they're super busy. And so what I say is only clean the areas of your house that are the common areas that people are going to be in. Shut all the other doors and don't
preach.
Worry about them.
Preach, sister.
You don't need to have everything spotless all through the house when people come over. That puts stress on people. So that's what I say first. And then secondly, have everyone do something to help out. So everyone brings something to share, hopefully in a manner that is not a big, large dish because of COVID. Rather, put them more in individual dishes or manage some way to serve them so that they would still not convey the germs that things happen now. So bring a dish to share. Do your meals on disposable dishes or have everyone bring their own plates and silverware and take them home so that you don't have all that mess. Those are some of my ideas. And then in terms of dips, I would serve them individually in small cups so that people can take the cups and dip their vegetables. You can put the dip in the bottom, the vegetables in the top, and just pick up a glass, a plastic cup that they can use. If you have sauces, put them in a pitcher so people aren't dipping. You just pour it onto your plate.
Oh, yeah. Good idea.
Yeah. So that kind of thing. And, have individual things like deviled eggs people can just pick up, or stuffed celery. Those are the kind of dishes that I would suggest you make. Don, I'm sure, has other ideas that we can...
Oh, yes. Thank you for acknowledging that I have ideas. Yes, I do.
Again, a married couple laughers.
there are some larger get-togethers where the host only has to provide a place and everybody else brings a dish, sort of like your traditional church potluck or something like that. You can do that as a family or a family and a group of friends if you want. But if you're like Lois and she wants to do the whole meal herself, there are a lot of things that you can do ahead of time. So, Thanksgiving's on a Thursday. If you're having the meal on Thursday, the weekend before, you can make all the desserts if you're having cakes and pies, for example. So look at your menu and figure out what you can make ahead. And once people start to show up, you assign them a task. you get the grandkids, the ones who are old enough to know their left from their right, and then they set the table for you. Or those kinds of things. And put it out as a buffet, you know, spread it out on a table someplace or on a countertop. And let the folks pick the food as they want as they go through the buffet. So those are some ways that can make it easier for you. And don't forget, you can always make that Jell-O salad that my grandmother made, you know, way ahead. You can make that 2 or 3 days ahead too. You can put that lime Jell-O and shredded carrots together.
And is get that popular dish?
Well, I don't know, but every Thanksgiving as I had grown up as a kid, you had yellow Jell-O and shredded carrots. So.
Yeah, I heard pie. You had me at pie.
Well, that is the most important dish for Thanksgiving.
One of the popular dishes for our grandkids is simple drained fruit cocktail with extra maraschino cherries added, put into whipped cream or Cool Whip. You just mix it together, and the kids love that. It takes about 5 minutes to make, and they absolutely love it. Just don't put bananas in, because that flavors the whole thing, and lots of people don't like bananas, I've found. but truly, the kids love that fruit cocktail in Cool Whip, and you have nothing to do.
And the kids can make it themselves.
That's right.
You know, do they get the assignments when they get there, or do you tell them ahead of time?
No, when they get there, teenagers won't show up. if you give them an assignment ahead of time.
I know, my son's 28. Good note. I remember now. Thanks for that reminder. Yeah, I love some of these ideas that have already come through our interview about the appetizers that can be served individually. But I know you guys have some more ideas specifically that you can share that even I'm sure we can find on your website, right? So can you share some of those with us? And then they can come, you know, visit your website later to actually make them. So please.
First, the fruit cocktail one's on the website.
Oh, good to know. Yes, I was actually wanting to try that myself. So thank you.
Well, I think for appetizers, anything you can stick a toothpick in and hold it together and pick it up and then, you know, put it on your small plate that you're collecting your appetizers on and then eat with your fingers is good. You can also, as Lois said earlier, use small plastic cups. And for example, you can put a little cocktail sauce in the bottom and 2 shrimp on the sides of the cup. And when you pick them up, you get the shrimp, you get the cocktail sauce, and you get a little cup to put the shrimp tails back in. It goes right in the garbage. So simple things like that. You can also take soft cheese, like a bar cheese. You know, if you were raised in the North where they have cheese on the bar, you put a little bar cheese in the bottom of the cup, soft cheese, and use a pretzel, a couple of pretzels or a breadstick or something like that. So simple things, just think about what you don't need to ladle out and put on the plate. Don't serve from communal platters or plates or bowls. Lois?
So some of the recipes that we have on the website that people love are the chicken kebabs, for one. And those are sort of just a little sauteed chicken that you put on a stick. And we serve that with either a mustard sauce or a sweet and sour sauce. Both of them are on the website. The sweet and sour sauce, I think, is called coconut shrimp sauce or coconut dip sauce. We also have a gluten-free coconut shrimp that is easy to make, and you could serve those, and they're good hot, cold, or anywhere in between with the little dip sauce. the old-fashioned bacon-wrapped chestnuts can have a toothpick put through them. They're cooked that way when you bake them in the oven. And we have a few stuffed mushroom recipes on the website. Some are vegetarian, some have a little sausage or something in them. Those are all easy to make and individually served. So I would say all of those, plus, of course, the old-fashioned celery stuffed celery that you can either stuff with cream cheese if you can eat dairy, or with peanut butter if you can eat peanut butter, and put the little raisins on top, make your ants on a log for the little kids. And like I said before, the vegetables with the dip in the bottom. There's we have a really good, simple to make hummus. It takes less than 10 minutes and it's super good on the website. I think it's called Authentic Mediterranean Hummus. But if you just look up hummus, you'll find it. You don't need to go buy it at the grocery store for $5. You can use a can of chickpeas, a little bit of garlic and some oil and lemon, and it's amazing.
Mm. I love hummus. I'm going to have to try that out. Mm-hmm. I have a question for you too about the a lot of the ideas that you were just sharing. You were talking about putting them in individual cups, you know, that people can toss. Where do you guys get your cups a lot? Do you go to Costco, just regular grocery store? Can you talk about that a little bit?
Sure. Usually because we do have a lot of people come over in the past, now not so much. We did get them at Costco, and you know, you can buy a big sleeve of them for not much money, but most grocery stores do have them. And you can buy the little clear plastic juice kind of cups. Mm-hmm. Those, they look pretty and they come in different sizes. You can use them for drinks or you can use them for appetizers. And, you know, they've got the shorter, fatter one or the tall, skinny one. Both work well.
Okay. Yeah, that's a practical tip. I know what you're talking about. Those clear plastic cups, like cocktail cups or the taller ones. Okay. Right. And those would be in the paper aisle and that kind of thing, paper and plate aisle. Okay.
Right.
That's a practical thing, because I'm thinking that more and more of us are going to want to do those individual servings as we continue on into our new normal. So I thought that would be a helpful note for us. So thanks for sharing that.
You're welcome. Also with those, you don't necessarily have to throw them away. The plastic cups can be washed in your top shelf of your dishwasher. So you could save them. Mm. It doesn't have to be a ruin the environment thing. You can reuse them.
Oh, yeah. That's a good tip, too. Laughers, see? Go ahead.
Yeah, or instead of cups, you can use a square of a foil or parchment paper to put the appetizer on.
There you go.
So, you know, if you're having crackers and cheese, you can put 3 or 4 crackers and cheese in a small handmade aluminum foil boat.
Oh, aluminum foil boat. The kids would love that. Anything to make it more fun, right, Don?
Yeah.
And then it's beautiful too. So.
And that's right. Now we're styling.
Yeah, we could get them working on those boats the minute they came in.
Oh, yeah, they would love that. Yes, the kiddos. Now, that brings me to my very next question. Sweets are my favorite, and they are the kiddos' favorite, too. And I hear you have some recipe ideas for cookies and candies they may like. Can you share some of those with us?
Yes. Okay, when I start cooking with children, I usually start with a bar cookie. And my favorite bar cookie is shortbread. Mm. And you can make that easily into gluten-free, which I need, and they're amazing. The key to making a shortbread bar cookie, though, is cutting it when it's still warm. So you cook it, and it only takes, 5-10 minutes to mix up. You mix it up till it's crumbly. You press it down into the cake pan, and then you bake it for 10 or 15 minutes. I can't remember exactly, but till it just starts to turn brown. Then you take it out, you wait about 5 minutes, and you cut it into squares. If you wait too long, it'll crumble, but you can still use it. You can take that Cool Whip and some fruit and so that crumbly stuff and make a beautiful dessert with the cookie crumbles on it. And I think there's a cookie crumble parfait on the website as well.
Yes, no sweet must go to waste.
Oh, for sure. You're never going to let that go to waste. And the other way I use those cookies is I put a dab of chocolate on top of them after they've been cut, put a dab of melted chocolate chips. That's all that's in it. A half of a maraschino cherry and a little more dab of chocolate. And they are beautiful, tasty, and people love them. And they, you know, you put them on a plate and you can just eat one. It's like having a chocolate covered cherry with a cookie. Delicious.
Delicious. I bet the kiddos love those.
They do. Some of them do. We have our factions. Some like chocolate with fruit. Others do not. So I'm in the chocolate with fruit category.
Right. So do you offer both, just out of curiosity?
Yeah, sometimes. We do.
Okay. Yeah,
sometimes we do. So the other cookies that people like to make are sugar cookies, of course. I have the most amazing brown sugar cookie recipe on the website. I think it's called Sadie's brown sugar cookie. But if you just look up sugar cookie, it'll come out. Mm. And it was my grandmother's recipe that I didn't have for many, many years. And it is the best butter-filled, wonderful cookie that you can make gluten-free or not gluten-free. And you mix it up, you have to chill it, then you take it out and roll it out and cut it into shapes. And then you bake that. And there, it's all brown sugar. It's so good. Mm. So I'll tell you about that. And then the last one would be drop cookies. That would be the next thing that children like to make. So of course, chocolate chip cookies are drop cookies. You just scoop off a little piece. That's called a drop cookie. Then I have, because I didn't have my grandmother's sugar cookie recipe, I kept looking for a sugar cookie recipe and found a Danish sugar cookie recipe in a Wisconsin Electric cookie book many years ago. And it was closest in taste to my grandmother's cookie, but it wasn't a rollout cookie. It's a roll it into a ball, squish it down, put it into some sugar so that it's covered, squish it down and bake it. And they're amazing. Danish sugar cookies.
Now, all these delicious recipes on your website?
Yes, ma'am, they are.
Wonderful. I'm going to try probably all of them.
Yes.
Now, the pie man, do you have any recommendations for us, pie maker?
Well, kids like pie, so we do a survey. Okay. So what kids are coming, what pies do they like? So one of our daughters loves lemon meringue pie.
Oh, me too.
Only lemon meringue pie. So early on, we just taught her how to make it. So we got out of the loop. So she can make lemon meringue pie herself now and as often as she wants. You know, traditional pies that kids like, pumpkin, of course. And the best pumpkin pie recipe ever is the one on the side of the Libby's pumpkin can. And we've modified that a bit and put it in the website. So you can make it dairy free by using coconut milk. Instead of regular canned cow's milk. So candies, kids love candies. And we have a family tradition of making something called caramels, which most of our kids are really not involved in, because it takes a lot of patience and a lot of stirring of hot, bubbly stuff on the top of the stove for a while. So, but I'm looking for one of the older grandkids to take it on soon. So I've been politicking for that one for a while. But they, you know, they come out and then you cut them in little squares and they're about the same consistency and about 15 times better tasting than a Tootsie Roll. So that's your reference there. But, you know, all our grandkids don't necessarily like the sweet stuff. We have one grandson who really enjoys salmon.
Really?
Yes. Salmon. Go figure. And he also enjoys making pasta sauce or spaghetti sauce, and he's quite proud of his recipe. So.
How old is this grandson?
He's 11.
Okay, and he's already cooking.
He's already cooking, yeah.
He's been cooking for about a year or so now. He's not quite 11. He'll be 11 in March.
Okay.
Yeah. We have another grandson who is amazing on the grill. He's 13. So I think sometimes they cook out of survival. Their moms are very busy.
And they're hungry all the time.
And they're hungry. Yes. Especially the teenagers.
But then we also have a granddaughter who loves to make zebra cake.
What in the heck is zebra cake?
Zebra cake is the most simplest cake you'll ever make.
Okay.
It's like a big bowl of whipped cream, and you take chocolate wafers, which are about 3 inches round, and you layer the whipped cream between the chocolate wafers, and you lay it down so you get this long line of chocolate wafers interspersed with whipped cream. And once you used up all the chocolate wafers, you take the rest of the whipped cream and coat the outside of this cake. And then you let it sit for a while so the wafers get a little moist. And then you put it in the refrigerator, take it out, and you cut it on a diagonal. And you get this beautiful brown and white stripe, chocolate and whipped cream together.
Two of my favorite things.
Yes.
Not on my list of either things that I can eat, but
no.
Not particularly healthy, but it's a simple recipe that kids can make, and it's a lot of fun.
It is fun.
And
it is.
Like any other food, you know, moderation is the key.
Moderation is the key. Though you bring up a good point, Lois. Not everybody can eat some of these things. So thanks. I think it'd be great, you know, given the experience that you have, if you could share with the laughers how they can stay true to a special diet when attending a family or friends gathering, what are some things they can do?
That is a good idea, because although my family and friends love me, they don't often provide many foods for me to eat when I go to their houses. Because of course, as I've said many times, they're busy and yeah. And they also don't understand it. You know, dairy-free in some diets is anything related to milk. But in other diets, butter, for instance, on the diabetic exchange is not a dairy. And right. that's included in the fat diet. So different diets are confusing.
Right.
So people don't really know what they can and can't do. So what I do, a couple of things. One, whether you're on a special diet or not, if you're trying not to absolutely eat everything in sight when you go to a buffet, eat a little something before you go.
Good idea. I need to remember this.
if you eat something right before you go, you won't eat absolutely everything that's on the buffet table. So secondly, I usually bring 2 to 3 foods with me so that I know that there will be enough for me to eat no matter what. And so if I'm going to a big gathering, I might bring an appetizer, some kind of a protein or main dish, and a dessert, because otherwise I'm going to eat the stuff that I'm not supposed to eat, because I don't have that kind of willpower. And I will just
understand.
I'm eating that. Yeah.
Yeah, and then I got to stay away from her for 5 or 6 days because she's really ticklish. So
yeah, or in pain, you know. So I do. I always bring something that I can, that I know I can eat, and that other people will like as well. So I'll have something to eat. That's what I do.
Yeah, that's so really good. Go ahead, Don.
So, in years gone by, when I would go to the family dinners like Thanksgiving or Christmas or birthday celebrations, I would load my plate up. I would enjoy all the tasty food. I would go back, load my plate up again, and enjoy more of that tasty food. And for the next couple of days, I was feeling miserable because, you know, it was too much food. Maybe acid reflux would be happening, so you can't sleep as well. So my discipline now is portion control. I just take the amount of food the first time through that I think I will enjoy. And, you know, that's my simple solution to holiday meals when you have to be conscious of food. Mm-hmm. So, you know, just think about how the food affects you. You know, whether you're, you know, a healthy young person, overeating can be bad for you in the long run. So just do what you do, but do it in moderation and enjoy the tastes and savor the conversation and enjoy the evening without overindulging. And the less you eat that day, the more leftovers there will be for days to come. So, so you can spread out the joy over the next week or so.
I like that motivation there. Something to look forward to. That's a really good tip. Is to eat what you want, but kind of stick it to one plate is what you're saying.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Versus going back over and over again.
Correct.
Yeah, I think that's true. It's almost, you know, psychological in a way, as we tell ourselves, no, we can't have that. It's almost as if we want it that much more.
Of course. Yeah. And you don't actually realize how much you're eating. If you just go and get potato chips, I'm having potato chips now, and then I'm going to go and have vegetables here, and then I'm going to have a little sandwich, and then I'm going to go around and have this and that. All of that adds up. So putting it all on one plate will help you realize how much you're eating.
I agree with that. I need to make that mind shift. But this season is a new day.
That's right. Every day is a new day. Don't beat yourself up. Just start over.
That's right. Yep. Start over. I like that. Well, you've got some helpful information for us now, Lois, with the books that you have written so that we can, you know, follow up on what you've shared with us today in even more detail. And they include your discoveries, a food journal to help others, and a memoir cookbook that details your health path that includes 30 absolutely scrumptious recipes. So can you tell us more about those books and what you hope the books will do to help people?
I will. Thank you. So the books are called It Ain't Just the Diet Food Journal and It Ain't Just the Diet Cookbook. And the reason, I think I mentioned it early, it ain't just the diet because it ain't just the diet that gives you these problems. You can be on any diet and still have these problems. You can still have health problems. You can still have weight gain. And it sometimes has nothing to do with the quote unquote diet that you're following. It has to do with you and your particular body. So the memoir cookbook came about, actually both of them came about because I was losing weight and had lost 40 pounds and made myself healthy. And people noticed that and asked me to talk about it. So when I talked about it, they would say, huh, maybe I'm lactose intolerant. And they would try that. And then their joint pain or whatever would go away. Or maybe I'm should be gluten-free because of what she said. So they were coming to me and saying, your talk made a difference. And so I decided to write my whole messy health history, which is not much different than many other women have. When I was young, I could eat anything I wanted. I never got sick. I never gained a pound until I turned 30. And then every year, a pound or two would remain on my body. And I started to have health problems because it builds up in your body. Your cells somehow change, I think. I am not an expert. I'm just, this is anecdotal. But I believe that all of what you did earlier builds up to what you are now. And so I talk about all of my messy history of how I ignored the fact that I was hypoglycemic. And, you know, I just learned how to cheat. So instead of having a crash down hypoglycemic time, I would stop and at the fast food restaurant and get orange juice and french fries, because orange juice shoots your blood sugar up fast and french fries bring it down slowly. But all that fat floating around in my veins and arteries caused a clog in my heart. That was quite painful. So don't do that.
Don't try this at home.
Or don't try this at home.
Or at the drive-through.
Yeah. So anyway, I eventually figured out all these things. And so I wrote my whole messy history of all the different things I tried, what the doctor said, how I understood it, etc., in a memoir. And then I provide in that book also a cookbook that has 30 recipes. So it has a couple bread cracker recipes. It has appetizers and vegetables and sides and soups and six main dishes and three mouthwatering dessert recipes, one that you can make in 5 minutes.
So another one I'll have to make.
Yeah, for sure. You may have even had that as a kid. At least we did it before the time of microwaves. I am that old. I didn't have a microwave until I was in my 30s. We would have rice for supper, and we had to eat fast so that we could then have rice for dessert. And it would still be warm. So we would have rice with cinnamon and sugar and milk on top. And that was our dessert. And that is one of the desserts in this cookbook, just because people say, I never heard of cinnamon sugar rice. And it actually is one of the most visited recipes on the website.
Really?
Yeah. That and how to make a fried egg. So seriously.
Surprise.
Anyway, yeah, kids don't know how to do that. But anyway, so the food journal then is a more formalization of the method that I used to figure out what my problem was. I made a 2-page food log form that I duplicated into 90 some copies, so that people can keep 90 days worth of their food journal and hopefully in that time figure out what their problems are. So the food journal allows you to keep track of what did you eat, what were your subsequent results, you know, did you have pain, did you have itching, did you have this, did you have that, put it down. It also, for us older people who have to keep track of our blood sugar and maybe our blood pressure, there's a place to write those things down. There's a place for medications if you take medications and things changed. And there's some spiritual stuff about your day. How did it go? What was your challenge? What were the best things that happened? So it's an overall spiritual food journal to help you figure out what might be causing the problems. And hopefully you will. And the other cool thing that's in there, because I never thought of it, but when I would go to the doctor, this is the funny part. When I would go to the doctor and the doctor would say, have you had any changes in your bowel movements? I would say, I don't think so. Because, you know, I couldn't remember when the last bowel movement was. I am not, had never been one of those people who's, you know, every day at 5:30 in the morning, I'm on the toilet. And, you know, because food affects that. Yeah. And other things affect that as well. And so they'd say, you know, is it normal? And I'd say, yes, because who knew what normal was? Ah. Well, there's a chart for that. It's called the Bristol Stool Form Chart. And it shows you a picture of what your poop looks like. And that is in there too. So you can figure out whether your poop is normal or not.
We're getting really personal here, laughers.
I know.
Yeah,
but it is important.
It is important
to know this for your food and also for other health problems you may have.
That's true.
So I have included that in there, and you can keep note of your bowel movements if you so desire. And I'm sorry I cut you off, Don. What did you want to say?
Oh, I think that one of the big values of the food journal is that you can take this book when you go to your doctor.
Yes.
And, you know, when you're having your conversation with your physician, you've got your record right there. So it's not trying to recall all this stuff from memory, but... Mm-hmm. You can say, look, doc, here's what I've been eating and here's the results. So,
mm-hmm. Or this is when that symptom started.
Yeah.
And so forth that, you know, certainly as we get older, we can't remember. Or if we're really busy, we can't remember because symptoms are insidious. You know, they're slowly sneak up there on you. And all of a sudden you're exhausted or all of a sudden something happens.
Or you're bloated. Yeah.
But it's not all of a sudden. If you're paying attention, it does build up. So anyway, that's the food journal. So I have the two books, and the food journal is in two different sizes, a small book you can carry around in your purse or a briefcase, and a larger size for those of us who have old eyes and need it bigger.
That's right. That pocket size will be for the people, the younger people that are like, wait, there was life before microwave? I mean, there was a life without microwaves.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
You mean they didn't exist? Yeah. What happened?
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
That's pretty exciting. Sure. Well, where can the laughers buy your books, Lois?
Well, first of all, they could get them on Amazon. Yep. Either just looking for my name or It Ain't Just the Diet Cookbook or Food Journal. And secondly, we are putting together and we'll have on December 11th, there will be local authors holiday book fair. So we'll have several authors, eight to 10 local authors at Court Square in the hall outside of the Capital Ale House in the building between Capital Ale House and the theater. There will be lots of local authors there to sell their books. And I'll be happy to sell you one and autograph it for you if you should want to stop by December 11th between 4 and 7 p.m. Right outside the Capital Ale House and movie theater at Court Square in the hallway.
That'll be great. Yes. Yeah. So we'll make sure we put that information in the show notes as well for you, laughers. Good. So you don't have to remember all of that right now. You can click on it in the show notes and get that. Well, laughers, there, you know, they've got a lot of recipe ideas on this website, recipeideashop.com. For holiday ones, you can type holiday in the search bar and a bunch will pop up, which reminds me, Dawn, can you share with the laughers approximately how many recipes you have on this site?
Well, last time I looked, I think we have around 800 recipes. And other posts, there's some motivational kinds of things. There's some health related kinds of things. But one of the things my wife is passionate about is having a picture with the recipe so you know what it's supposed to look like. Those cookbooks on our shelves that are all words and no pictures rarely have worn out pages. But Lois, she grabs the one with the pictures because she believes that, you know, you need to know what the finished product is supposed to look like. And if it's a beautiful picture and you think it's something you'll like, you're more likely to try the recipe. So we've got 800 recipes. Some of them are the same ones my grandmother used, but we may be taking a little bit of the sugar out, a little bit of the fat out, but none of the flavor and fun.
And they'll love them all, right?
Yes, that's absolutely.
Right. Well, as we wrap up here, Don, can you also share with the laughers what else they can find on your website that they may like and can be helpful to them?
Sure. There's a tutorial on lactose intolerance. There's another tutorial on gluten sensitivity. And since the holidays are coming up and you may have large gatherings, you may be taking a recipe that serves four and you want to increase that to 40. Well, there's a measurement tool, a measurement equivalent tool. So instead of taking 4 teaspoons for the regular recipe and upping that to 40 teaspoons, if you enlarge it, you can just look to see what size larger measurements you can use to portion out those ingredients.
That's really helpful. I didn't know you had...
For geeky cooks, too. That's a good one for geeky cooks.
Geeky cooks, yeah. That would have come in handy several times as a football mom.
Yes.
Where were you, Don? Well, this is great. Laughers, we will absolutely be sure to put their website, recipeideashop.com, in the show notes, along with the book information, delicious recipes that they have on that website. You are not going to want to miss out. And you can order Lois's books there, but also don't forget that December 11th event. So make sure you get out and enjoy that time out on Court Square. Well, Don and Lois, this has been super fun. And now I am officially very hungry.
Well, good. Because it's officially time to eat.
Go ahead.
You can eat many times a day as long as you do it in moderation.
I'm going to remember you said that.
Probably better for your health.
I agree. And I can't wait to try some of those recipes you have and enjoy them this holiday season. Thanks so much for coming on the show today.
Thank you for having us. It's been delightful.
It's fun. It's fun, laughers. Food is fun. Food is nourishing. And always make a beautiful plate.
That is the words right out of the mouth of a food stylist right there. So, we will close it out with this. Lastly, most importantly, thanks for tuning in, laughers. Out of all the podcasts out there, you picked us, and we think that's pretty darn special, just like you. Until next time, keep smiling. Bye.
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 Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Virginia is for Laughers podcast, brought to you by X2 Comedy. We'll be dropping a new podcast every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, so check back for another uplifting episode. Come to an X2 Comedy show or let us bring a show to you. To find out more, head to x2comedy.com. Be sure to share us with a friend. Until next time, cheers.